felt before like, you know, you were trying to do everything you could do. And, you know, you were struggling to get up to a certain plane, a certain plateau. And it seemed like you just couldn't get where you wanted to get. Anybody else ever been there? Sure, we all have, if you've ever endeavored to do anything for the Lord. And all of a sudden, heaven just comes down. And God just invades the atmosphere and invades your... See, His ways are higher than our ways. Can I hear an amen tonight? Oh, my... You know what He does? He sends rain on the just and the unjust. God's ways are just above my ways. Can I hear an amen? Huh? Oh, there's time for judgment. There's a time, you know, when the wrath of God begins to come down. Can I hear an amen? There's a time when the floodwaters begin to rise and the door on the ark is closed. But let me tell you something here, friend. For 120 years or so, we're going to hear Noah preach righteousness before the flood comes. Can I hear an amen? And God's going to extend His mercy as far as He can stretch it out. I'm talking about a God that'll send angels down into the city of Sodom whose cup of iniquity is already rolls up as a stench in the nostrils of God. He'll send two angels down there to get Lot and his wife, amen, and his daughters by the hand and bring them out before judgment comes. My, what a merciful God we serve. Woo, hallelujah. My. Children of Israel murmured and complained. Hello? And then God opened water out of the rock and caused a river to flow in the midst of the... And those same murmuring tongues cooled their thirst in that water. Now, I don't understand, do you? Huh? But I know it's the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Oh, you better believe I got saved because I was afraid of hell. But I'm going to tell you another reason I got saved. The goodness and the mercy of God reached down and got a hold of me and led me to do something that I couldn't do on my own. It led me to turn away from my sin because I saw just how good God was. Are you sure I'm missing it if you're missing what I'm feeling right now? You sure are missing out if you're missing out on serving God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I got saved. Well, hallelujah. Y'all worship with us. I think we're going to sing a little bit here. Amen. I wasn't planning on saying all that, but I sure felt good while I was. Hallelujah. Let's get in here and let the Lord have His way.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. Then a wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, He took me under His wings. Oh yes. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Oh, His royal blood and now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh, now I'm a child with the heavenly home and my holy Father. He has made me his very own, and I'm redeemed by his blood. And someday I'm gonna sing with the angels above.
Oh yes,
oh yes,
I'm a child of the King
and his royal blood,
and now
flows through my veins, and I was so wretched, and poor.
Now
I now can sing, praise God,
praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm a child of the King.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, I was wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. Oh, that a wondrous compassion the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes,
oh
yes,
I'm a child of the King
and his royal blood
now flows
through my veins.
And poor,
I now can sing.
Praise
God.
I'm
a child of the King. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm a child of the King and his royal blood now flows through my veins.
And I,
who was wretched and poor, now can sing.
Praise God,
praise God. I'm a child of the King.
Hallelujah.
Oh, why don't you lift your hand tonight and let's thank God for his mercy.
Fifteenth chapter of Luke's Gospel tonight. Charles Spurgeon said, above all things, when it comes time to select a text, wait on God. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? And he even went as far as to say in his lectures to his students, if you have to wait till the last hour, you'll be glad you waited on God to get your text from him. Can I hear an amen? Well, I've been trying to wait on him today, and I can't say this text didn't go through my mind earlier in the day, but I felt like God dealt with me. And so I want to look here at Luke chapter 15, just really a real familiar chapter. And you've heard a lot of preaching on it, and I've preached from it. But I feel like the Lord wants to speak to us here today. You know, God's concerned with everybody in this building. And the wonderful thing about God's Word is it's like bread. It can feed every single one of us here, no matter what our needs are. Can I hear an amen tonight? And the Lord is concerned. So I want to encourage you here. I don't know. I may, by the time I give an altar call here, I'm just trying to be real sensitive, amen, to the Lord. I may, when it gets right down to that time, feel real specific on how to make this altar call. Then again, I may not. I may just feel real general here. Amen. I'm just doing my best. One preacher said he was flying by radar. Amen. He was just listening. Amen. Flying by the sound. Well, I feel the Lord speaking to my heart, but I just want to encourage you, when it comes time for us to come into this altar here tonight, whatever your need is and whatever your desire is, God can satisfy you up here tonight. I was down in Sterlington, Louisiana, back about a year or so ago, and got up one night and preached on hell. Felt God deal with me strong. And looked at the congregation, and you can't get your text by doing that. You might from time to time, but it probably won't be the right one. Can I hear an amen? And, you know, but to look at the congregation, everybody there was church folks, but I felt like God dealt with me, and so preached on hell that night, gave an altar call, and this young man hit the altar, and he began to pray over on this side, and their altar wasn't, you know, fastened down to the ground. It's pretty stout, but he's a pretty stout fella. And he got down there prayed a good long while, and after a while got to shaking and, you know, and gyrating like we sometimes do in Pentecostal churches, and rolled over, knocked the altar over, rolled over on his back, and came out speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hello. Preach on hell and somebody get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, God's just got a way of doing things. Can I hear an amen? But he was a little cold, and he prayed through, and he didn't just pray through. He prayed all the way through and got everything he needed. Well, whatever you need tonight, the Lord can do it right down here at this altar. Somebody say amen. Lift your hands and ask God to help us. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much, God, for your grace. Thank you for these precious people. Oh, God, for this church and for this meeting and this opportunity, oh God, to meet with you. I'm asking you here tonight, God, to speak to us. You know every heart in this building. Give me an unction, Lord. Say just what you'd have me to. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. I want to say we appreciate all the good fellowship and all the good food. And sometimes I forget those kind of things. But let's just look right on here, if you would, to the 8th verse. Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece? Boy, you know, it's important that we don't lose anything. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach here tonight. Doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." just real simple little idea here tonight, and this is what I felt like preaching on, so I just want to obey the Lord tonight. Just real simple thought, just two words I'm going to kind of focus on here for a little while. If the Lord help me, just simply this: something's missing. Hello? Something's missing. Oh, God, help us here tonight. You ever had that feeling, looked around, it seemed like everything was there, and you thought everything was in place, but something just wasn't right. Come on here. Something just was out of place.
Oh, God, we need your help right here in this building tonight.
Read this story one time of this elderly woman. She had passed away, and it was kind of a mysterious death, and she was kind of seclusive. And so when they went in the coroner and they sent a police officer in and a private investigator, and they go in, someone from the police department, and I believe there was a journalist there, and they were just kind of going through the house and investigating, looking for clues to determine the death of this woman. It just was an unusual type of thing. And as they went through and were looking around, everything seemed to be in order. All the furniture, nothing was disarrayed, and everything seemed to be all right. But in the midst of everything seeming to be all right, these two men who were looking the house over, they couldn't help but feel like there was just something that was out of place. And they looked and they looked. They went upstairs, and there was an upstairs bedroom, and laying on the dresser or the nightstand there by the bed, there was a letter, and the letter was from a friend. This friend had written this woman, and it was an old letter, and she spoke to her about the condition of her soul and was telling her basically to take a good long look in the spiritual mirror and telling her basically that she didn't have a forever, that she needed to make things right, and time was running out. And they looked over that letter and still looked through the house, and all of a sudden it clicked. I believe it was to the journalist as to what it was. He said, "Have you noticed?" He said, "All through this house, the furniture is in order, nothing is in disarray, but something's missing. Not anywhere in this house is there a mirror, and not anywhere in this house is there a clock at all." Well, evidently the letter so disturbed the woman, even though she kept it there on her nightstand, evidently conviction gripped her heart every time she looked in the mirror, every time she looked at the clock, and so she removed them from her house, trying to remove from her memory the words that had already pierced her heart. Somebody help me preach here tonight. I want to preach to you. It's got to be my help on something's missing. Oh, God, help us here tonight. Huh? We got three parables here in the 15th chapter of Luke. And really, the three parables are one. We've got the parable of a lost sheep. We've got the parable of a lost son. Those are the stories that we most often hear told about. But the story right here in the midst of these two parables is about this piece of silver. We often call it a coin. The Scripture just calls it a piece of silver. Very, very, very likely that's what it was. Amen. One of the 10 pieces of silver was missing.
Oh, I wish I could preach to you here tonight.
Huh? Huh? Now, listen to me here. Listen, if the fold in the first story represents the church, and the Father's house in the last story also represents the church. Are you listening to me? That 99 that the good shepherd leaves to go out and get that one lost one and bring him back into the fold. That fold represents the redeemed. It represents the house of God. Amen. This house that the prodigal walked away from and finally turned around and came back to. It's the Father's house. It represents not just heaven, but it represents the house of God. Can I hear an amen? If that's the representation in those two stories, then to keep in theme with the middle story, this house here represents the house of God. And this woman represents an individual within the house of God. Now I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Right within the house of God, something is missing. Hey, I'm going to tell you right off the bat here, I'm not down on the church. Before I go any farther here tonight,
Before I take any more time to preach on this text here tonight, I want to let you know, Shadeville Church of God, amen, and whatever church you're from, I'm not down on God's church in this day and time. I thank God I'm part of the house of God. Can I hear an amen? I thank God that I've cast my lot with the redeemed. I thank God that I'm part of that number, amen, that is blood-bought and on their way to heaven. Hey, come on here. I know, amen, that the church is not a perfect entity, but it is an entity, amen, that God perfects us in. And it's the entity that the Lord is coming back to get one day. Those that are without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let the world point out all the works and failures of the church, but there is still a church that Jesus is coming after. Hello. Now thank God I'm part of the church of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not down on church. I really am not. You know, I think the saddest message that was ever spoken to any church in the Bible was in the book of Revelation, where the Lord Jesus, and you may not be going in your mind where I'm going in my mind. Huh? No, I'm not thinking about Laodicea. That was a sad message. But I'm thinking about that church. Oh, God, help me here tonight. Where He said, thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. And then He said, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. That's a sad message to me. You know why that's a sad message to me? Because really, there's no hope for improvement in that message. Some of you got a name that you live, and you're already dead. Some of you, He says, need to strengthen what's left that's just about to die. You know what He's basically saying here? He's basically saying to that church, there's some among you that are already dead, and there's some among you that need to hold on to what you got before you lose that. Hey, let me tell you something. That's a sad message. I don't think that's the message for Shadeville Church of God. And that's not the message that I feel like preaching here tonight. Can I hear an amen? I don't think God wants me to preach to you and tell you to hold on to what you've got so you won't lose it. I think God wants to take it a step past that. Can I hear an amen? I think God wants us to go forward and gain.
Oh, God. Well, it's tight here tonight, and I don't know why, but I'm preaching anyhow. I wish you'd help me, but I'm going to preach on if God will help me here tonight. Huh? Huh? Something's missing. Something's missing. Hey, I thank God for what we've got. I'm glad to be here. I'm rejoicing, amen, in all that we've got. But I've got a message for you here tonight that I felt the Holy Ghost burn down in my soul before I walked out here, amen. Something's missing. What about you tonight? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help me here. Let me just preach to the church a little while here tonight about some things that are missing. You know what's missing? You know what's missing in the church tonight? Sinners getting saved. Oh, God. Oh, my. I wish somebody else could preach this tonight so I could sit down and get preached too. But I'm just going to have to preach to myself. And you can be assured that I'm preaching to old Kev here tonight as much as I'm preaching to anybody. But let me tell you something here tonight, brothers and sisters. We're missing sinners praying in our altars. Oh, God.
Oh, a path passage of Scripture is about here? He's talking about one lost sheep. He said the good shepherd's going to leave the 99 and go out and get that one lost sheep. He's going to put everything else on hold. Everything else on the back burner. The number one priority of the church is to reach out for the lost. Oh God, help us tonight.
Well, listen, I want to rejoice. I want to make merry. I want to shout
and have a good time. But you know what the case for rejoicing in all three of these stories is? Somebody got saved. Oh, hallelujah.
Huh? The elder brother got bent out of shape because the father was throwing such a big ado over the son that it came home. Amen. He was wanting, you know, to focus on all that he had lost. And he had lost a lot. Can I hear an amen? But the father went out. Amen. And he beseeched him. He said, oh, he entreated him there. He said, son, it is meet. It is meet that we should make merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive. He was lost and he is found. We need to rejoice because he is saved. He's come back home. I tell you what will give us another case for rejoicing. Amen. Is if we see one more soul walk down this aisle and kneel in this altar and give their life to Jesus Christ. God, help me. If we're not careful, we'll look at the 9 coins we have. But we'll forget about that one. Oh. Hey, brothers and sisters. You know why we reap sparingly? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing with them their sheaves. Oh God, help us here tonight. Something's missing, brothers and sisters. Oh God, help us here tonight. Lift your hands right now and ask God to speak to our hearts. You remember Rob and Salih. Brother Finley started the bus ministry, and I know bus ministry is not the answer to everything, but he was trying to figure out some way to reach out to lost souls in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he started a bus ministry. Amen. That church caught on fire. I came back one summer and they gave me a route and I was doing everything I could to work that route. And Robin Salee. Robin had brain surgery when he was young. He finished 12 years of school. But he wasn't really able to do, you know, all of the work. They gave him a certificate of completion. Are you hearing me preach here? Robin couldn't drive a car. He had trouble with his eyes, and because of some other physical difficulties, he just wasn't able to have a license. He worked for a hospital in downtown Tulsa. He would walk to work, amen, and walk back, amen. He came to church one day after he'd got saved, and he said, "Brother Finley, I want to start a bus route. Down in my neighborhood, there's a bunch of kids down there, and I think I can get them to come to church." Well, I don't know if Brother Finley really knew what to expect, but I was standing there. I remember what he told Robin. He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "I need a bus." So, "Oh, okay, I'll tell you what, you get 20 kids, and when you get 20 kids, I'll get you a bus." He thought he was going to have some time, you know, here. Let him round up 20. That'll give me some time to see, you know, what he can do and what he's made of here. He had 20 the next Sunday. Oh, God, help me here. I'd go out driving, amen, for hours on Saturday, knocking on doors, trying to get kids to come. He's out there walking, amen, knocking on the doors of his neighborhood, inviting people to come to the house of God. I remember the first morning that I broke 50 on my bus. Robin broke 50 on his bus. His route got so big, somebody had to drive him on Saturday to do his visitation. Are you hearing me here? I'm talking about a guy that didn't even have a high school education. I'm talking about a guy who couldn't even drive a car. Some of the things that society says is a must to succeed in this life, but God is not looking for somebody who's trying to succeed in this life. He's looking for somebody to pick up the heart of heaven and pick up the burden of God and go out and try to get somebody saved. Oh, God help me. Brother Finley took him on his bus route one day, and he just riding in the truck and let Robin do the visitation. I remember the next Sunday he come back telling the story. Robin went in. Next thing you know, he comes out and says, "Brother Finley," said, "come on in here. This guy says he wants to get saved." Big old guy in there crying. And Brother Finley said, "I love going on the bus route with Robin. He goes in, gets them all under conviction. All you got to do is pray them through." Huh? That moved me. I got so moved because I was getting kids. I was passing out a pile of bubble gum, running all kinds of promotions, getting people to come, filling up our Sunday school classes, filling up her children's church. Are you hearing me here? Amen. But I hadn't seen anybody get saved. And I got hungry. Oh, God, all this, but something's missing. I want to see somebody get born again. Are you hearing me here? Amen. I remember that first Sunday I saw somebody get saved off of my bus route and how it made it feel worth it all. Oh, I'm telling you here tonight, something's missing. We need somebody to get a burden and go out and serve for a lost soul. Oh, God, help me. I know this may not be normal kind of camp meeting preaching, but this is what I felt like preaching tonight. I'm not down on what we got. Something's missing, no. Hello? I'm not down on her singing. I'm not down on her preaching. No, I'm not down on her shouting and on her services. But something's missing. Come on, help me preach tonight. There's something else missing. There's a... Oh, God, help me to preach. There's a presence that's missing. In the first story, we've got a shepherd. We know who that is. The good shepherd, which lays down his life for the sheep. Can I hear an amen? In the third story, we've got a father.
Hallelujah. Faithfully waiting there in the house, looking every day for that son to come home. How do you know that? Because when he was a great way off, he ran out to meet him. Somebody said it's the only picture we've got in the Bible of God getting in a hurry. Amen. Is that father running out after that son who was a great way off and had made his mind up he was going to come back home? Here, hi, somebody help me here. Hey, many times we feel like God's not in a hurry, but I'm going to tell you what, God is in a hurry to save somebody. Hello. We got the Son, we got the Father, but in this story, in the middle, there's a presence that's missing. I'm afraid many times that's the condition in our services. There's a presence. You know, if we're not careful, we'll let the smallest little thing hinder us, and we'll come out of our service and stand. Well, I just couldn't get no liberty. Hey, you know that's an indictment against us. You know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We might as well just say, I just didn't have much of the Holy Ghost tonight. We might as well just boil it down to where the rubber meets the road. Can I hear an amen? Hey, that Spirit will comfort you if you're grieving. He'll lift you if you're weak. Somebody help me preach here tonight. We need the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, But we have an unction from the Holy One. Huh? You move on down about 6 or 7 verses in that same chapter, and it says, but that same anointing which abideth within us. Amen. That word translated anointing in the latter part of the chapter is the same Greek word that's translated unction in the first part of the chapter. What is it? Amen. It's just simply the touch of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's talking about there. Amen. Kind of like in the Old Testament when the priest would take a little oil in his hand and would touch some piece of furniture or touch some article. Amen. There was a fingerprint on him and a smearing of oil. That's what the word means, anoint. It means to smear. Amen. You know what? We need the touch of God in everything we do. And the Bible says we have it. It is available. But I'm afraid many times, even though it's available, we don't have what we should have. Oh, God, help me here. It's like that little sister back in North Carolina. What's her name? Kim? Pastor's there. Brother Phillips' pastor. Sister Kelly. Pastor Kelly. Oh, God, help us here. Amen. She's a black lady, pastors a church there. And I met her one time. And she pastors there in North Carolina. And she's got preachers in her church. Amen. And they'll get up sometimes and they'll preach. I never been, but Alan Phillips, he's been there. Amen. And he told me what she's like. Amen. You can think what you want, but I'm just telling you the way it is there. Amen. And they'll get up and if they ain't got the anointing, she'll come up to them. How come you wasn't anointed tonight? Amen. What's wrong with you? You hear me here? Hey, it is available. Hey, some folks couldn't take that kind of pastorate and that kind of leadership. But I want to tell you something here tonight. Brothers and sisters, we have an unction. It is available, but I'm afraid many times we step up here and we've got our part down. We've got our line down. We've got our verse down. We've got our points down. We've got everything except that one thing. Hey, but that one thing is the most important thing. We need His presence.
Come on.
Huh? You know, though, I don't want to leave you here, because even though when this story starts out, this presence is missing, that's why she lost ground. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. If we really get the Holy Ghost moving like we say we got the Holy Ghost moving, we're not going to lose ground. We're going to gain ground. Hello? We're not going to be up on Sunday and back down on Wednesday. Come on. I know there's times we walk through the valley, and even maybe the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, but we can walk in the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? And we can be undergirded with the power of God through it all. And we don't have to walk with feeble knees and hands hanging down. Can I hear an amen? We can walk in the power of God. Hey, something's missing! I wish I could preach to you tonight. This missing presence shows up in the story. How do you know, preacher? Because she begins to react. She lights a candle. She starts sweet. You know what? You can tell when the Holy Ghost gets to moving in people's lives. They start moving. They start searching. They start getting hungry for what's not there. And they start seeking for more than what they got. Can I hear an amen? Oh, God, help us here tonight. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Somebody help me here. You've got the Holy Ghost working in your life. You'll have a desire and you'll be doing something to get more of Him. Lift your hands right now and ask God to speak to us here. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what else is missing in our life? See, if it's missing in your life, then it's missing in the church. You know what else is missing? We're missing some growth. Oh, God, help me here.
Hey, I don't want this mentality of holding on to what I've got till the Lord comes. Huh? Is that the mentality that God had for the Israelites?
He said, no, go in and possess the land. I know there's giants, but there's giant grapes too. I know there's enemy that has chariots of iron, but there's mountains of inheritance too. You've got my promise. I'll give you the land. You're going to have to fight, but if you'll fight, I'll give you the victory. You've got to go forward. Can I hear an amen? There comes a time when Moses says, we've come past this mountain long enough. It's time to go northward. It's time, Joshua said, for us to cross over the river. It's time to possess the land. Can I hear an amen? 80 years, Caleb's heart burned in the wilderness. He said, I'm back. Hey man, I'm just as strong as I was 40 years ago. I'm
80 years old now. Amen. Now I want that mountain. Let me have it. I know there's giants up there, but I'm going to take it by the grace of God.
I'm afraid we've got 9 out of 10. And what we do is we look over at a church that's got 5 out of 10. And we say, well, for this day and time, and we're judging ourselves by the same church we condemn. Let's take a look in the mirror. It's one thing to hold a mirror up like this. It's another thing to hold it up like this. Oh, God, help us here tonight. We've got 9 out of 10, and by now, we ought to have 12 out of 10. Or 15 out of 10. You remember those guys, you know, Jesus gave one of them 5 talents. And He gave one 2. And He gave another 1. And when He came back, the one that had 5... said, Lord, here's the 5 You gave me. And here's the 5. The man that had 2, Lord, here's the 2 You gave me, and here's 2 more. Then comes the last servant. I don't believe God expected him to have 5. He comes up, he unfolds his napkin, and he pulls out. And he said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. The Bible says about him, it says, it took from him that hath not. Well, wait a minute, he's got what he started with. But the Bible said he took from him that hath not. I've got what I had 10 years ago. I've either missed it by a mile or hit it right on the head tonight. I don't feel like I've missed it by a mile. You know what? We're not going to be judged over what we've got. We're going to be judged over what we're supposed to have. Stand with me all across this building tonight. Oh, God.
lift your hands right now and ask God to speak to somebody's heart right now as we get ready to come to this altar. Oh God, I pray tonight. You know every heart. Search us. Oh, search us, Lord. Search us, God.